Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Musician's Guide podcast. My name is Karen, and I am here with Jen. That was a weird cadence. Hello, Jen. I was going to say, I'm Karen. I'm your co-host. And then I just kept going.
It's okay.
Apologies, Jen. How are you today?
I'm good. I am good. It's already March, which is insane. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. Full transparency, we were going to talk about something else, and then I just showed up to our recording session and just went completely rogue. So I'm excited. I feel like this month is like bringing back like a little bit of like old me that has been gone for maybe a few years. And I don't know, I just feel like this new sense of like hope and just discovery and newness in the season. As people have probably seen and we've talked about a little bit, like it's been a shit show start to 2024. So I'm feeling like, you know, this is going to be our time. Like this is like our version of the new year. Like this is going to be our year, starting like in March maybe.
Yeah. No, 1000%. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in your life?
You start. I want to make sure that I'm not like oversharing.
Oh my
like
gosh.
My favorite face.
No. That's
little
so funny.
Sister energy.
No. It's been crazy. It's just been a lot of like grief, loss, changes. Toby Keith Seth came in. Karen and I have both had like just family issues and people being sick and having to be like caretakers and just really getting to see mm-hmm. within the healthcare system, particularly in Florida, how freaking horrendous it is and how like no attention is paid to patients. Insurance sucks. And that could be a whole mm-hmm. conversation within itself of just having to go through the hardship of like, okay, this is like emotionally taxing and then also like mentally taxing and nobody's willing to help or wanting to.
Yeah, for sure. This definitely will be a conversation separately, but like I was so floored at just not floored, but like it was a horrible to really experience it yet again, the discrimination in the medical system for minorities and people of color. And it just blew my mind. And then I was also like extra disappointed at the lackadaisical nature that can exist even within the same minority community. And I found myself in situations where speaking perfect English made a huge difference in advocating versus being chummy and friendly. And that was just really, really upsetting. It was a great, you know, few months to be an Enneagram 8, but it's just been exhausting to just have to advocate for basic rights. And yeah, I think more than anything, just really demoralizing.
Mm-hmm. Go us. It's been so great.
It has been amazing. But honestly, Jen, I couldn't have done any of this without you. And I'm so grateful and so glad that you're on my team in many different ways and that you're the best auntie ever to little man. Because there's no way we would have survived or even slightly thrived had it not been for your energy. So I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you.
So today's episode is completely out of Jen's comfort zone and is absolutely totally my energy. So we are going to try... we're not going to say riff because it's not a riffing, but I would say it's an open conversation on something that I've really been thinking about. I've been talking to some friends about. I've been doing my own research, like for realsies again. And it's just this conversation around the quality of content on social media, via marketing, however that looks like for you, whether it's an email or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, that I am noticing as I look at different trends and patterns. And to give a quick backstory, like we started KCA in 2013. This is right at the rise of Instagram. I've had an opportunity to really see in the last 10 years the different trends and the different things that happen on social media, how musicians engage with social media. And I've been very hands-on successfully and unsuccessfully in all of these different things. I've participated in like the quote bandwagon of like, ooh, let's just share a great quote and expand on it. And that does really well. And I've built accounts and brands with that type of trending energy. And it's just been an interesting observation as of late that I feel like there's a difference in the quality of content and also in the reception of said content. Like there's a lot of just low-hanging fruit, maybe just very obvious and basic information that is really successful and that people are just engaging with. And you know, it doesn't, I haven't even noticed there to be a difference whether somebody goes to Juilliard or somebody goes to a state school. Like the type of artist, the level, the age, the background, all of it has been pretty similar to be engaging with this type of content. So I've just been thinking, like, are we in a world where the content on social media that's performing well is the content that reassures people? Are we in a world that the marketing that we need maybe is slightly softer? Could we maybe be moving in a direction where there's less toxicity and less competition? That's like the hopeful, optimistic side of this research. And then the other side of this is like, what's happening? Like, why are people liking this? Like, I don't understand. Like, you could literally just Google this. Like, why does this quote card exist in this way? Why is this engagement so high? Like, is this paid advertisement? Is this like keywords and SEO? Like, what is actually making this perform well? Is it the algorithm, or are people genuinely excited and kumbayaing over basic platitudes?
And okay. Yeah. Wait, hang on though, because I do want to explain what you mean by basic information, because basic information within social media can be taken in two ways. I think on the one side of it, it could be like what's basic for you might not be basic for others, meaning like if you're explaining to me the basics of finances, I'm going to say, I didn't know that. For you, it might be, for everybody else, it might be common knowledge, sure, but I don't have the financial literacy you're backing, quote unquote. And then for other people, basic can just be concepts or bigger ideas that are understood within a community. So mm-hmm. Do you want to explain a little bit further? Because we talked about a little bit before we press record. So explain a little bit more what it means to have a basic take on something and explore that and share that on social media.
Yeah, I think there's a fundamental understanding from a musician standpoint that if you want to play in an orchestra and you want to win a job in an orchestra, that there isn't that many positions. You'd be maybe in the top 1 or 2% of people getting a degree that have the intention of being in an orchestra. That to me is just very general, basic understanding. There's also the education route. You can take a tenure track professor, an adjunct professor if you wanted to teach at the collegiate level. There's also high school band directors, middle school band directors. There's also private studios. Like, that's the basic information that I'm talking about, where anybody that either has a degree in music or is music adjacent would understand that, yeah, it is competitive to win an orchestral job, like, period. That's what I mean.
Okay. So what's the marketing that you're talking about that kind of tailors to that basic conversation? And then also, how are you perceiving that? Or what is your question around that?
Yeah, I just feel like I'm observing very open-ended statements that are almost like ruffling feathers, or just, I don't know, like if you want ice cream, there's vanilla and chocolate, you pick the chocolate, great, now you have chocolate ice cream. Like, there's no like, yeah, this is what's happening, we're getting ice cream and that's fine. These posts just are full of just empty platitudes, and everybody's just engaging. Like, oh, this is what a great job. Like, yeah, I didn't know that if I didn't win an orchestral job, I could have something else. I could do another job. Or I didn't know that if I wasn't a military musician, I could still play an instrument in another band. It's like, well, yeah, duh. Like, of course you could do those things. And I'm just confused as to why are we so heavily engaging with content that to not just me, but I think all of us listening is incredibly obvious. And that's where I was thinking from an emotional perspective, maybe from the perspective of the Enneagram, like, is this content providing reassurance? Is this content like really catering to that safety and security, which I know is a really huge conversation in the freelance and musician space. Like, a lot of us do value that. Most of us would value that, I would say. So is this a way of marketing catering to that? And the question that I have is this type of fanfare where we're seeing many, many of these accounts grow really fast and have all this reach and have all this engagement, is this lowering the quality of what's to come in our industry? Is this oversimplifying things? Are we not, you know, giving as tools, like, this next generation is so brilliant. Like, they're literally going to save the world, basically. Like, do we not think higher of them, that they already know? They're already drinking water. I had zero water in college. They're already going to therapy. They're already work-life balance. I as much as there's memes and we can often bitch about Gen Z and their boundaries, love their boundaries. Like, are we just assuming that they just don't know? Are we assuming that they're gonna, you know, try and outperform the bullshit that maybe my generation did? Like, absolutely not. So like, why are we creating this content and why are we engaging with it is really the big question. What do you think, Jen?
I see where you're coming from, and I can see a little bit more now because we talked about it before and I was still like, wait, but what kind of topic is this? And I think more so if you like kind of peel back the layers like an onion and you talk more about like the specific content that you're seeing, that is the type of content, or to kind of clue people in if they haven't yet already caught the drift. It's content that kind of makes it okay to be mediocre and that glorifies mediocrity and that continues to say like, it's okay, you can be a piece of shit, whatever it might be that content is giving you permission to do. And I think it's the reassurance that comes is with the permission that's given through these posts to do whatever you want to do and follow a path that leads you to a butterfly garden, whatever you want to do with your life. And I think within that, I appreciate you saying like, do we not think higher of other generations and all that stuff? And I think a lot of people that are engaging with that sort of content can be categorized into certain buckets. And okay, it might be the upcoming generation that, you know, likes that reassurance, appreciates that, and sees where they're coming from as far as just like, of course, like there's so many options. There's so many things we can do. And then I also think there's something to be said about the previous generations that might need that reassurance, might need that, you know, I followed this path and it led me down to do these choices that I didn't appreciate and that have led me to the life that I have now that I'm not entirely happy with. Mm-hmm. And these posts are providing the kind of context and the kind of things that I needed to see when I was younger. So I think there's also too that reach for needing to hear something that maybe you didn't get to hear. Like you talked about music school and, you know, the experience that comes with that. If somebody would have said like, hey, music school is this way and don't worry about it, even your professor is like super mean, like it's all going to be okay, I think it might be coming from there. What do you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely a valid point. I do think that the musicians, of course, are like a very welcoming and just accepting community. And I've seen that transition happen, especially in the last 5 years. Like every time I walk on campus to do a lecture or do a residency, like I'm just so happy and it's so healing for like my, you know, freshman Karen at Boston Conservatory, like that stress that you felt like having to be and perform, and now everybody's just like super great and amazing. So I do see that there's a shift and I can see like where you're coming from. I just, as everybody knows, like I have no problem with monetization. I have no problem with having a business. I have had a business for a decade, a for-profit organization, and we've done a lot of work here around money and what it's like to make money and that, you know, removing that interference and having a good relationship with charging what you're worth. And that empowerment is a really huge core value in our organization. But I do struggle with some of these, I'll just call them platitudes, being preached and then selling something that's going to fix whatever. And I don't entirely see what's out there in the market, not everybody, of course, but a couple of people like as solutions. This is becoming more like multi-level marketing. Like I have a private, as an example, this is the most common example. I have a private studio of, you know, 25 saxophonists, let's say, because that's my instrument of choice. And, you know, I'm making a great living because that is absolutely a possibility. We've talked about this before. You can absolutely have a great business. We work with clients and we support them in their private studios. But me teaching you how to create that and me marketing in a way where I'm a part of that equation and you're not going to grow your studio unless you're working with me or you're buying my course is what I find problematic. And I think that this reassuring content is accompanied with, I'm reassuring you and holding your hand, but you also need what I'm offering. And who am I? Oh, I'm just this other person that happens to also have a studio, which again, it's really valuable. It is a business and we work with people that have that, but it's not necessarily unique. Like having a private studio has been with us from the beginning of time. So like you're not innovating per se. So I feel like there's a lot of misleading going on. in this space. And I think that that is what's feeling problematic. Like if any coach, any therapist, anybody tells you that you need them in order to be well or in order to be successful, that's a problem. And I also noticed that that there's a parallel with going to music school, and there's a codependency that is available with your private studio teacher, where like whatever they say, go. And of course, you're going to study with them. You're paying tons of money. You're on scholarship. It's competitive. You know, whatever. Yeah, you're going to listen to that person. Absolutely, you totally should. But not like question the source. And that's, again, been a value of the last 10 years. Like, absolutely. Listen to the people, listen to the authorities. But also, like, if we were thinking different things or if we have a different perspective, like, let's welcome it type of conversation. And I think that seeing this content, I'm just like, ugh, this just isn't feeling well. And it has nothing to do with numbers, because we know that having a big account doesn't mean anything. If you're not necessarily making money or you're not making a living off of it or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's part of your portfolio. It could be a vanity project. It could be a resource. It could be whatever you want it to be. So it's not like, oh, this person has a lot of followers, or this person's post is getting a lot of followers, like that. That's a non-issue, because we don't actually know the inner workings of anybody's anything, to be honest. But it's just the message affiliated with a sale. And it just feels like there's a quality control issue. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. And I see what you're saying. And I think too, like the parallel that you drew to music school and then people selling their specific service, it's that, you know, if you, it's like people, this is how I see it. And this is maybe just like so mean. It's the people that go to, like, they do an anti-prom and they're like, we're not going to go to prom. So we're going to boycott it. We're going to create our own prom, and it's going to be in Tyler's backyard, and we're all going to dress up and we're going to wear Converse. Like, that's how I see some of these establishments and the way that they're running, as far as just like having an anti-prom. So don't go to music school. Instead, join my studio where we're going to work, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. And then from there we can build a studio, and then that studio becomes another studio. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely see where you're coming from as far as like these people having kind of this anti approach to whatever it might be. And I think the biggest thing that you said within all of that is just the quality control of it all. And yeah, just making sure that there's more clarity. But then again, like, I think sometimes marketing has an obscurity factor that makes people interested in wanting and having that curiosity to reach out and ask. So people are creating problematic posts, or they're creating hot takes on things that then lead people to create buzz over it and go through it. So I'm like, as us doing marketing, you know, on a daily basis, I'm like, that's good, but it's also like, it sucks because you're kind of preying on people's insecurities, shortcomings, whatever it might be, to then sell them something, which is not ideal.
Yeah. No, that's definitely also what I mean, as you said it way better. I feel like, and I mean, I'm not going to get into the systematic aspect of it, but it is a disproportionately white landscape, which I'll just leave that there and move on. But it is really upsetting that this is something that's just kind of taking off. And again, I have no problem with clickbait. I mean, we enjoy it in pop culture. Like, oh my gosh, tell me about, like, I don't know, Taylor Swift and this guy, or like, I don't know, whatever's happening. Like, cool. I can get on board with that, but not in our community of, I don't know, people that are going through different things at different times of the year. Like, we all know the cycle. You know, you're starting school in the fall, you're burnt out by, you know, the end of the calendar year, it's the holidays, you're starting again, it's winter month, it's seasonal depression, then we have audition season, then we have summer festivals are coming out, then it's recitals, it's the end of the semester, now it's summer. Like, we know what's happening. Like, we don't need to capitalize on this to make people feel like shit. And I think that that's what's happening. And I see just a lot of backhanded energy, even in the space of like, should young people be winning orchestral jobs? Yeah, of course. If you're the best person for the job, then fucking win it. It doesn't matter how old you are. And sure, you're going to gain your experience on the job, but isn't that what we're preaching as side hustles? Aren't you getting experience on the fucking job? We didn't go to website school. We didn't go to like whatever it is that we do school. I didn't go to creative direction school. Like, you get the experience on the job, regardless of your age. So I feel like ageism is also going both ways, and it's really infiltrating the marketing. And as a huge emerging artist fan here and advocate, like, I think it's stupid. And I would like for us, I guess, like, you and I'm not preaching to the masses, but like, to continue to uphold the understanding that Gen Z is actually smarter than we are, and that we need to stop trying to preach, and we need to stop trying to be like, this is what you need to do. It's like, no, listen, how can we all collaborate? How can we work together? And there's nothing that I'm going to sell that somebody needs and also needs me in forever. Like that's not how sales work. That's not the goal with courses either. And I don't know, is anything life-changing? That's another question. I see that a lot in their marketing. Like, this is going to change the trajectory of your life, like of your career. Like, can it though? Like, is anything actually going to do that? I could see there being a lot of sliding door moments. And a lot of the work that I do, I am so honored where I get to be a part of somebody's story. But it's ultimately what they're doing. It's not anything that we're saying or doing or internal email sequencing or email marketing or any of the things that are brilliant and amazing. Like, it's literally all them. And that's a lot of the work that we see, like in the 6-month coaching program. Like, somebody gets started on their journey, or somebody's tying something with a bow, or in the 3-month program, like they get to have that like beginning or that incubation of the one thing, but like, it's not about me. It's not like I'm not included in like the success of the package. So I don't know. I want there to be just more conversations around this. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this content is exactly what we need and where we're headed, which I'm totally happy to be wrong about. But I just don't want it to compromise the quality of our artistry and musicianship. I don't want it to compromise the authenticity of what exists in our industry. And I would love for the fear mongering and the platitudes to stop, because it's not serving anybody. Yeah, if you get 40 comments and everybody loves your stuff, but you're not selling shit or you're stressing people out, it's not helpful. Like, I'm not going to bed with the amount of likes or follows or engagement anything's happening. I'm going to bed wondering how I'm going to post next week or whatever. So it's just like really thinking through, and I don't know, I just feel like angry about it.
Let it be known that the beginning of this conversation was just going to be an open conversation. And I was like, yeah, Karen, like, let's not land, you know, let's not get into boxes. Let's not put ourselves in a hole. Let's not say how we feel. And she was like, I'm angry. And you just let it all out. So thank you for that.
Sorry, I just can't help it. No, but I have always felt, especially this podcast is going to be 6 years this year, that I've always been honest in every place. I'm not recommending this, but you could scroll all the way to my first post on any of my brands. Nothing, first of all, cringe, don't do it. But like, you could see the evolution of the brand. You could see the evolution of the thought process. And I've been a part of every single thing that I'm talking about. And I've always been honest when this works, when it doesn't work, how I feel about it. And that was part of our conversation today, Jen, where I was just like, I just really want to go back to that advocacy piece. It's not even fearlessness. It's just advocacy around like what exists and here are some thoughts. And it's not in the disrespectful space of like, oh, I'm saying what nobody's talking about or what nobody's willing to. No. Like, we're having these conversations. I just think that I would like to further that. And if somebody disagrees or if there's a different way that I'm not thinking about, like, I would love to learn. So that's mostly the intention with this. Like, here are some of our thoughts or my thoughts. We heard your thoughts. And open to suggestions, open to more education, open to seeing like how we could collaborate and how we could make this a better space and also like a safe and empowered space through the awesomeness that is marketing, because it gives us access, it gives us resources, it gives us community. And I think that my intention is just wanting to protect that.
Yeah, I agree. So I need to bring in one quick thing of, I saw a TikTok the other day that said, trying to feed, because apparently I'm on like the toddler side of TikTok. I don't know. I don't have kids, but it was like, the power of marketing, if I've ever seen it. And they're like, our kid doesn't want to eat salmon anymore. And we rebranded it as being pink chicken. And all of a sudden it's his favorite dish. And it's like, yep, that is the power of marketing. And I feel like with that power comes a lot. So I think it's important if you're going to be in the music space and uplifting other people that you do it responsibly and that you do it in a way that's going to feel good to everybody that comes near it, because there's already enough toxicity in it as it is for you to be adding to the noise. So yeah.
Chef's kiss. Thank you, Jen. That was brilliant. And I'm totally going to use that for Nick, who hates salmon. It's pink chicken. See what happens.
I also hate salmon and I'm like, no, thank you.
Yep. Anyway, thank you all for being here and for holding space always for the things that we do here. And thanks, Jen, for being an amazing support. If y'all have questions, thoughts, please share. Please let us know really what you think. And if you disagree, please even more let us know. I would love to learn and think of different ways to share about this and create an opportunity for support and collaboration.